Okay, everybody, welcome back to Overdunk Episode 5. My name is Zoinks with Unite Mics. We are sitting down with the top competitive teams in Pokemon Unite, learning what makes them tick and what they're looking forward to. Welcome, Apes Unleashed, to the show. Thanks so much for joining me, you guys.
Hello.
What's up?
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, so just so for the people listening at home or watching on Twitch or YouTube and things like that, we just need to get to know your squad a little bit better. So why don't we just move around in a circle, introduce who you are, what people might know you from, and then what role you play for the team. Why don't you go first, Zervas?
Yeah, I'm Zervas. I'm the support player for Apes Unleashed. I'm kind of the team captain, I guess, or somewhat.
Okay.
Here and there. And I'm a former StarCraft and Heroes of the Storm player.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Chelvin, let's go to you next.
Hi, I'm Chelvin. I play jungle for Apes Unleashed. You might know me from Heroes of the Storm. I've played that for the past 4 years. And I'll play competitive Unite.
Okay, cool. Fantastic. Two Heroes players. Gekko Kami, how about you go next?
Hey, I'm known as Gek. Also, as the EU traitor that played on NA for the longest, I'm now the new addition to the team, the new tank player, and I'm known for playing whatever defender in bot lane.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I definitely the pioneer Gekko Kami. All right, and then Sixies, how about you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sixies. I'm 23 years old. I'm a top lane player for Apes Unleashed currently, and well, I have played in the past games like Heroes of the Storm and World of Warcraft, mostly Arena. So okay. Yeah, that's me.
Cool, the PvP top down, no stranger to it. Awesome, thank you so much for joining me, you guys. I'm really excited to get to know you. You guys all have past history in other games, that's really exciting. But before we get into your team and like your accomplishments that you've had so far, I've heard there's been a little bit of just inner team drama already that I think we need to address right out of the gate. I've been told that the biggest ape amongst your team is still up for debate. Do you guys have in mind who's the biggest ape on your squad?
Sixies.
It's not close even.
No, okay.
For me, it's here.
Hey.
Okay, so Sixies saying that they are maybe not the biggest ape, but the rest of the team is pointing in that direction. Sixies, how do you get this rep? Why does the rest of your team think you're such an ape?
I don't know. Something goes wrong. They hear me scream first. I think that's it.
Oh, and no, I'm sure nothing goes wrong in mid-game. No, you're totally fine, but cool, awesome. I wanted to get that out of the way, because if you are truly the Unleashed Apes, I need to know who's leading the pack in that sense. But awesome. So I want to learn a little bit about your squad and how it started. So the first iteration of Apes Unleashed, did it get created at the start of the game, or was this like a later in the timeline team that decided to form?
Who's should gonna answer question, boys? point fingers.
I think Sixies should take this one, no?
Okay, cool. Yeah, Sixies. Yeah, okay. Talk to me.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So basically, I think all of us has been on a different team previously, and Apes is kind of I'd say like a mix of two teams, like What a Goal and Wind Traders. I don't know if you're familiar with Wind Traders.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go way back, but in Wind Traders, I used to play with Gek, Otter. Some people know him as Otter VGC now, I think he renamed himself to.
Okay. Yep.
And then we had Presto. I don't know if you're familiar with Presto.
Yeah.
It was a UK player. Mm-hmm. Like we played a very long time ago. And then we also had Zanti, who's still our attacker now. Gek was in there. And who else was it? Help me out here, Gek.
Named five. You.
Yeah, you're the five? Yeah, and me. Yeah. And me. And then What a Goal consisted of Servus?
Elvin, me, Inox at some point, like at the beginning, and then we had a few changes in the support role, but
gotcha.
That never really worked out. And then we had Tali, who also came to Apes Unleashed at the beginning, until like 2 weeks ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Elvin.
Cool. All right. So yeah, you definitely have a combination of two rosters. Was the was this combination kind of happening for the upcoming Worlds events and things like that in the qualifier rounds? Was that sort of why this team was formed in the first place?
No, not really. Well, Basically, when Wind Traders disbanded, it was due to a decision of two teammates, which were Gek and Otter at the time,
Cool.
and they decided to leave Wind Traders. And after that, me and Zanti basically started searching for other players. And I kind of already knew Kelvin from Heroes of the Storm
Right.
because
Cool.
we're both Dutch and we kind of played together with each other a little bit. And I remembered Servos very faintly in Holt's like very early days. So I kind of just hit them up after Wind Traders disbanded. And I was like, yo, you guys want to stack up? Because their team wasn't performing that well either. And
Gotcha.
I was kind of free agent. So we started just playing together. So Apes has been around for quite a while now,
Yeah, that's
honestly.
true.
Early November, I think. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. All right, so you guys have been around for a little bit together for like now a few months, like you said. You've been playing quite a bit. Your team, are you just practicing on ladder all the time? You're entering events at the same time. Have you netted yourself any tournament wins yet with this squad or any high placings at the moment?
I take this one, okay? Yeah, since November we won. I don't know how many tournaments actually. We won like
Wow, I lost
10
count.
Rush GG tournaments, something like that.
Okay,
We
cool.
won also some other things. There was
Awesome.
like a French tournament series. We won like three of those.
Yeah, that's
Qualified for the next
the
playoffs.
pump ones, right?
Yeah,
Okay,
exactly. The
cool.
pump ones. And before that, Wind Traders already had some wins. I think they won the biggest Rush GG tournament that has been there so far, the Mobile Invitational.
Right.
60s
Sorry.
something. Gek, were you there as well?
Yeah, I was always.
There as well, yeah.
Very
So
nice.
yeah, and we have also some other top placements, or like in Shiny League, we got fifth in the
Okay.
final playoff, I think.
Gotcha.
Also not too bad, I guess.
No, I
And
mean,
yeah,
definitely not.
here the smaller ones as well.
Okay, cool. So your team's already found success off the hop. That's really exciting for a newer squadron, but I guess a few months already in the back, that's makes a lot of sense. And knowing the caliber of your players, not too worried at all. But all right, we'll talk a little bit more about your team and their success and just what you've been doing so far in the future a little bit, but I want to talk about some of the recent things that we've had entering into the Unite community. So first off, we have the announcement of Worlds, or rather, we knew it was coming, but we finally have the road paved out in front of us. We have the qualifiers for all these tournaments being shown, the opens, and then followed up by the cups, as well as a few last chance qualifiers, all leading up to regionals, which then pushes you into Worlds. So, have you guys been like just scanning the rules documents already, trying to learn everything you can about this Worlds, or is that left up to one player on your team and everyone else will just kind of lean on them for figuring it all out?
No, we've been trying to be sure we're not messing anything up with the
Yeah.
registration, with creating the Play Pokemon account, because it can get dicey with wrong information. Also, we got thrown the first date in like it got announced and it was like, hey, in 10 days you have first qualifier. Good
Right.
luck. So it
Yeah.
was kind of thrown at us, and we're trying to do everything well, not rush it because we can mess it up.
Right, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, paperwork is going to be an unfortunate part of any of these qualification things, but yeah, no kidding. We already have that first open event coming in like you said, 10 days from the announcement, looking like a week from today, we're going to have our first actual Road to Worlds stepping into regional tournament settings. How do you feel about a brand new, just fresh open tournament? Random seeding for these first ones as well, so that's going to be a little wild. Does that make your team a little bit nervous, or are you cons like are you not worried about having to push through a giant bracket like this?
Then again, if you pay attention to the format, it's like, well, first and foremost, I'd like to believe all my teammates are with me with the thing we should beat everyone. Because
Right.
if we're going for world champion, we shouldn't be scared of random seeding anyway,
That's true.
because we have to beat them anyway. So, and with the format being quite for like a, it's very forgiving. So even if we screw up the beginning, we have open qualifiers all throughout the thing.
That's true.
Of course, we plan to win all of them because one of the things I really like about the format that the prize pool is really spread throughout all the tournaments.
Yeah, that's very
So
true.
it's not like Worlds is the only big thing. We're actually looking forward to winning everything.
Yeah.
And the random seeding, I mean, what else were they supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not one good way to do good research because some EU teams wouldn't play on the NA tournament,
Right.
so they're not as well known. so the seeding would never be as fair as we wish.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And touching on the format, the only I really like the point system. I just don't like it that it comes down to a last bracket, the top two,
right,
instead of being won by points and one tournament winner.
Mm, yeah. Oh, okay. So you'd like the two seeds to be opposite, one tournament winner and one by total points overall the whole
three
season.
One consistent. I suppose.
Okay, yeah, that'd be really exciting too. But yeah, so we are leading into that final bracket situation. Chelvin and Sixies and Service, you guys all played Heroes of the Storm or some MOBA at like a really competitive level, right? Were any of you playing this at this high of a level in those settings? Was a world championship or road to that a possibility for any of your squads?
Well, for me at least, I kind of started playing Heroes of the Storm post like the HGC era, so like the
okay.
big thing in Hots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after that, I played with like with the top teams, but like World Championship was never realistic because the scene got way way smaller due to the canceling of HGC.
Right.
But this is like the first time I'm, in my opinion, gonna be able to go to the World Championship.
Cool.
I have faith in my boys, so I think we can do it.
Oh, yeah. No, I have full faith in this Ape squad, too. I've loved casting you guys ever since your inception in November. A ton of fun to watch and spectate. You guys are never afraid to try some weird hero selections, sometimes throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing if it sticks. I'm looking at you, Sixies. I'm looking at you, Gek, even though I know sometimes you think that it is the best option. I'm still looking at you for some of those weird options or off-meta decisions. I shouldn't just call them weird in general, but
until they do become meta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If there is no meta until you make it. That's absolutely true.
Correct.
I want to talk about another just recent game news thing. We finally have, the Pokemon Unite's actually been pretty solid at new hero releases in terms of the rate that we're getting them. We've had a ton of additions to the roster, maybe not in every role that people wanted for sure. But the newest addition being Aegislash, have any of you guys had a chance to try that character in more than just a practice mode, try him in rank ladder, anything like that? What are Apes Unleashed thoughts on the Sword and Shield?
A fun Sixies.
Bad. Very bad.
Very bad? Okay.
I don't like it. I do not like it, man.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm. I love the play pattern, but I don't know about the actual ability of the character. I don't know if it's holding.
The good thing is, if Sixies says it's bad, then I really trust him. Because he never says then anything is bad.
Okay.
He tries it out for like 3 weeks straight. Like,
he always tries to find a way around.
I see.
So if it's not,
it's
not
Sylveon top might be good. A9 top might be good. Let me try out.
I mean, I actually played some Pikachu top today on the stream. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay. Pikachu can hold their own solo top. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. We're getting some mean words for Aegislash in the chat right now from Retsu. So, yeah, maybe not. I think the opinion on that Pokemon is definitely going lower and lower overall. All right, Shelvin. How about even trying to play them in the jungle? Is that not even a possibility?
Well, I don't think the hero is completely terrible, but like it's just not viable in the jungle at all. Like with the current jungle meta, it's just not playable.
Sure, yeah.
Like it's already really hard to play like a melee junglers, and if
right.
it's like even worse than the current melee junglers we already have, it's just not happening.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And actually, speaking of that current jungle option, so in the meta we've seen recently, the two biggest flex spots have been that top lane and that jungle spot. What kind of jungle lane spot do you find you're opting into most often when your team's queuing up?
You mean like the current jungle picks I think
yeah.
are the best? Or,
yeah, exactly. Or like what works best with your team as well?
Well, I think the two best are Greninja and Cinderace, in my opinion. But
okay.
I think there's niches for Talonflame.
Okay.
And that's like my top three, in my opinion. There can be a few more, but that's, in my opinion, like the best three.
Okay, gotcha. Those ones are rounding it out. I've seen you playing pretty much all of them. I know you were adopter of the Dragonite meta when it happened because everybody was sort of forced to. At the moment, does that Pokemon still exist in the jungle meta at all?
No, not really.
No.
Without having bans, like ban tournaments, I don't think it's viable, no.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so we are off the Aegislash goop, that Pokemon we cannot make, unfortunately. So despite 60s, your best efforts, even you have to say that that Pokemon is junk. That hurts. That really does hurt. But okay, let's talk about, since we, your first chance for me to have an EU squad on this podcast, have you noticed any like big difference in EU versus NA meta whatsoever, whether that be in hero select even or just playstyle? Have you guys noticed it watching any of the NA tournaments or watching those teams scrim, stream, anything like that?
Well, I kind of feel obligated to take this one because for the longest I played in NA,
right? That's true.
I played in NA for like 3 months and EU for the three, so it's like, the biggest difference is, I think it's in the jungle.
Okay.
Since the beginning of the game, I feel like EU is more prone to try Greninja than NA in general. And another thing is, I feel like NA players are a lot more scared of losing.
In a way
where you'd say that EU teams are kind of trolling, because they're... Okay, this might look like I'm pointing fingers at a particular team, but EU in general flips more often.
Okay.
They just call flips as an actual strategy.
I see.
It's not that, oh, we were forced to. No, it's a strategy. We flip.
Okay.
It's like, we flip and consequences afterwards. We can deal with it later.
I see. Yeah, you're having to plan not just for one team fight. It's the flip bird team fight and the team fight following. Okay.
No. It's not even the bird, it's everything.
Yeah,
everything can flip, you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so EU is more prone to actually strategize for the flip, whereas NA is playing a little bit too safe, in your opinion. Maybe playing a little bit scared.
Because with all due respect, and they deserve it, it's like people look up to TTV a lot, right?
Right.
And that's TTV true. Tends to, like, what, flip 2 out of 100 games?
Yeah.
So it's like... It's normal when the team that dominates their scene never flips. It's normal for people to adapt into their playstyle, because all credit to them, like, they make it work, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you think that there's a other side of the coin in terms of EU? Is there a team that is dominating the scene right now within your region that you think actually inspires the meta? Do you guys take that mantle right now? Do you think you're setting some of the meta strategy decisions for the EU scene? Or is there another team that you look up to quite a bit and are trying to emulate a little bit of what they're doing?
Who wants this one?
I think this is a hard one, to be fair.
there's a particular team that I do respect the way they just don't care about Zapdos. Like, it's amazing to me.
Okay.
Talk about random gaming. The way they play Zapdos, it's like controlled chaos, you know?
Sure.
It's like, it looks like they have no idea what they're doing, but they have somewhat of an idea what they're doing. And then you get confused. Because you don't know what the fuck you're thinking.
Right, exactly. You're trying to just catch up with them the entire time and you're having to follow up. That makes a lot of sense.
It goes as far as they start diving the second goal point as 5 people. And then you try to defend. And suddenly you don't notice that one actually managed to sneak away and is doing Zapdos on his own. Shit like that happening. Okay. And you really need to be careful when you play against them. If you want to react to them.
Gotcha.
There's a strategy behind it. So they make it work. Like luring people away to get into better spots.
Makes a lot of sense. Hey, true to their name. I mean, you have to give the credit to that. That makes a lot of sense. You got to fit the team's brand. That makes a lot of sense. But okay, so random gaming is definitely setting a little bit of this wild card flip bird meta a little bit in EU. Okay.
Team fight wise, I think our team still had a bit of an impact on the scene, or at least with the people we scrimmed against.
Right.
And not with like random gaming, we scrim sometimes with them. And I think also overall in the European scene, I think we have the most tournament wins at the moment.
Okay.
So we are surely up there as one of the best teams. Awesome. Not sure if people like look at our
one
games.
Of the goats.
One
of the goats.
Oh, greatest of all time. Wow. Okay. Even a little.
Already in contention.
Nah.
Okay,
you know,
very
we
cool.
just do our best and we think a lot about the game at the moment, especially. I think we've. I've been practicing too much for the like last month.
Okay.
This week we started again, and we're actually talking about a lot of the issues.
Gotcha.
But it's at the moment,
but
we're
bit...
slowly getting out.
Okay.
The system. Your question is a bit hard though, because right now in EU, actually the most top teams like all play together, like with each other. So
Right.
it's like we constantly learn from each other as well. So it's not like there's only one team that like has the mantle, you know? Like right now I'm literally playing with Random Gaming or people from PogChamp, like those two are like considered the also one of the top teams in EU. And everyone is just friends. Like all the top teams here are friends and we all just constantly play with each other. Like
Yeah,
overall,
you'll see
we all learn from each other a lot.
you see mixed match teams on ladder more often than NA. It's
Right.
like in NA at times, I'll just random name drop someone. It's like, oh, Goofy's playing with Shiny, which never happened, but it's like people are like, oh, what the fuck? And but with in EU, it's more common to people to just play with each other.
Oh, okay.
I
I
feel like.
gotcha. Cool. Yeah, all right. Well, awesome. So you're seeing the iron sharpens iron attribute definitely working for your squad, able to constantly practice each other and get better. But actually, talking all this about practice and team preparation, let's get into that a little bit for how Apes likes to do it. Zervas, I know you said you were kind of that team captain role. Maybe your authority. I don't know if everyone is going to call you captain with this squad. I know there are some fun personalities amongst your whole team. But in terms of team preparation, what are you guys doing to get ready for these Open Cup tournaments? Is it just strictly ladder grinding? Are you trying to find teams to scrim all the time? Or and is VOD review a component of your team practice at all?
So we try to scrim as much as we can at the moment, but
Okay.
especially at the beginning when the game came out, literally nobody was scrimming. So it was really hard to find any teams to scrim with. It's
Right.
gotten a bit better lately, and now since Worlds was announced and all that stuff, a lot of roster changes are happening. Some of the teams are not really ready to scrim yet, and it's hard to schedule it.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit annoying. At Elves we do ladder, but in maybe not as much as some other teams, but as I said, since this week we kind of have a working schedule, so I'm really, really happy about that actually.
Cool.
And
Awesome.
we look at the VOD sometimes, but we try to not make it too excessively, even though it happens sometimes that we talk about the same issues for too long and overanalyze stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of the things you can just remember as well, right? Maybe quickly skim through the situation.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. So, yeah, practice, you're kind of hitting all three of those things that I just said. Maybe trying to tone down the VOD review a little bit. Don't overanalyze and just break yourselves over things that aren't all that important in the end of the day. So, it makes a lot of sense. Really good ideas going into the game. Let's talk a little bit about what that prep has found then. What do you think that your team, Apes Unleashed, really excels at? Why do you think you're up in these top team and EU discussions all the time? Is it just your mechanics as a team are just so ahead of the other people? Are your strategies what's really pushing you forward? Or is it even just your teamwork synergy? What is it that you think is actually pushing you guys to be the top team in EU or at least in those discussions?
Well, I think a big part plays that our laning is really dominant. Like, we rarely ever lose like a bot lane or anything. Or like every now and then we lose a few Audinos and then it's about even, you know? But like our lanes are really dominant, and I think we've proven that we're like for sure the best team fight team in Europe at least.
Okay.
We really know how to use our ults well and keep each other alive and don't panic in those team fights. I think that's mainly why people are talking about us,
Okay.
my opinion.
Cool. Well, you gotta show love to your jungler mentioning the lane dominance off the start is like their strongest attribute. So well done, Chilvin, to be able to give the love to their lanes. But okay, team fight. Anybody else wanna weigh in on that? Why do you guys think that people are talking about you?
I think also the team fight aspect, but then again, at the moment we're trying to figure some stuff out since we had Gek as a new addition to the team. So we're kind of trying to not really relearn, but restructure the whole team dynamic at the moment, I think.
Okay.
Play more around the tank.
Gotcha.
Because the previous tank, Tali, had his playstyle was quite the opposite of Gek, I would say. He was more like defensive and
Okay.
reacting to the enemy team, and Gek is more proactive, and we actually like that.
Okay.
Our team needs to figure out how to properly play around it at the moment.
cool.
So we're taking some losses at the moment, but in a few days I think this will be fixed
Awesome.
and we can actually dominate really hard again.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, Gek, talk to me about what you bring to the table then. So if you were this aggressive tank player, how do you think that slots into Apes Unleashed, and why do you prefer that aggressive playmaking playstyle over the more defensive reactive one?
Because personally, I know that half of the defender Pokemon are quote-unquote supporters.
Right.
But I don't really like the idea of the tank playing a supportive role at all times. Like, of course, there's times for it, but it's like most of the community for the longest was playing Wiggly Duty, right? And they just used the ult as his massive full heal. Mm. Never used aggressiveness, never used to engage. Like, I don't know, people are pretty passive on the defensive role. And I don't know, I like to say HP is a resource. Go forward. Just walk at them and make them do stuff. Because yeah. You'd be surprised the buttons people click just because you press sing.
Yeah, that's true. I have been, I may be the one that gets caught out by that a little too often. As soon as a Wiggly comes to me, every single cooldown in the book has been thrown.
But in general, I can see that at some points of the game, I know you peep my stream every once in a while.
Of course.
And you can see how, it's like, sometimes I'm saying to engage, and people think I'm joking. It's like, there's no way this is an engage, but then it is. Because I think the buddy barrier, like, buddy barrier is such a big thing in the game,
mm-hmm.
that people always think that people are not killable, yeah. right? But we actually had this talk 2 days ago, I think, within ourselves, that I think killing is not the only way of punishment, right? Right. You can engage, take the buddy and get out. It's like, it's not a bad trade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what, you waste Sing or you waste Earthquake for a buddy bearer? Bro, sign me in. Why not? My team stalls, yeah. I reset, I get my HP, and we're ready to go again.
Yeah. Yeah, the cooldowns are not incredibly long on some of these really, really powerful items or Unite moves in Pokemon Unite, but that being said, the game's also only 10 minutes long. So yeah. Whenever you're able to take out that, like, percentage of their availability for an entire round, that's absolutely worth it. That makes a ton of sense. All right, and then Sixies, I want to talk a little bit about the top laner for Apes Unleashed. That's the role you are playing right now. I know that you have been one to try out a lot of different top lane, Pokemon in that slot. Your team maybe not the most pumped about it when you are pulling it off, but you got to let them know that they can trust you and you can run it up. What do you find to be that best in slot right now? I know that the Pokemon that can be used in that role are constantly shaking up. Lucario, just an evergreen pick, but there are competition for that slot. So what are you opting in towards?
I mean, personally, right now, I think Lucario is still the most strong top laner due to various reasons and due to both of his builds working insanely well. Like, he's probably the only one in the game where both builds are, like, completely viable. Mm-hmm. Like, E-Speed Bone Rush or Close Combat Pup, you know? It's like, which mon can really have that much diversity in their kit, you know?
That's
it's
true.
Always, like, one set of abilities you choose, and that's your character for the rest of the game almost, unless something changes, like for all the goals, for example, like last patch or whatever, you know. Besides Lucario, I really don't know, honestly.
Are you a Machamp liker? Have you enjoyed the Machamp, or is that not for you?
I think Machamp is also good, by the way. I think Machamp is really good, but it's just, like, I feel like Lucario was just a better Machamp, honestly. I don't know how to explain, but it's like, or you can dash through, like, 100 people at the same time with E-Speed, or you just jump on a single character, you have, like, a mini stun and then unstoppable.
Mm.
It's like, I think Lucario is still better than Machamp,
okay.
But I think Machamp has some niche to it. His ult is, for example, like, a lot better than Lucario's, in my opinion. You can do some nasty stuff with it and catch some nasty people off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall, I still think Lucario is the best. Besides that, I've been having some fun on stuff like Talonflame top, which is also okay-ish. And then obviously Grand top, but I can't play Grand top with my team because they're not going to greed and invade, so that doesn't work out then.
Yeah, maybe that's the only option that we've been able to see pull that off. Okay, so Greninja top lane is out. The team has vetoed it. Has your team watched? I know we've talked about Gek. You've played in the NA region. I know some of you guys you've played against NA teams constantly as well. Also EU. Have you been able to check out any of the other regions in terms of gameplay? Have you been able to see the Japan meta? See those. What do you guys think of these score-based comps and those kind of things, especially with finally inter-regional competition coming up in August? Are you taking a look at those compositions, maybe even trying them, or do they not fit the playstyle that you think is best for the game?
Well, the JP strat with the score comp, we've tried in EU like quite a bit and various iterations of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally don't think it's that good. And we do lose against them every now and then in ladder, but we always play on their ping. And it's a lot different from playing on NA ping. Playing on JP ping is like 200 ping, 250. Oof. And it's
tragic.
You just get, it's not fun. But I think due to the ping, they're getting all these advantages. And if we were to play against them on LAN, it's would be a lot easier, at least.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so I kind of have tended to agree. I see the score comp. I know people are always like trying to talk about whether it'll beat this team fight. You know, more oriented strategies, but in my mind, I can never actually see it paying off as much as people think it does. I think just the team fight meta just a way, way, way too strong at the moment, from what I can see, but you know.
It is definitely like right now, I'd say that the focus for every team should be to focus on their own region and what the trends are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that as we get closer and closer to August, it's definitely worth looking for, right?
Yeah.
Seeing the differences in regions. Because if you're planning to go to Worlds, you're not going to wait till you're qualified to then start doing your homework. Because
mm-hmm.
then you're going to see some upsets.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if JP beats a good, quote-unquote, standard team. Because, you can say it's bad or on paper loses, but
okay.
It's so chaotic that, it doesn't take much to lose against it. We've seen it on ping. We don't know how it's going to be on even ping, but we know how chaotic it is and how much emphasis it puts on scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, if you don't have snap-like decision-making, you can just lose by a couple of points, even if you get zapped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, it's bad, we don't need to focus on it. No, I think it's worth looking for,
okay.
Especially the score.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Still have to have it in the back of your mind, but like you said, right now the only players you're going to be going up is going to be these EU squads. So the road to Worlds, these Open Cups and upcoming regionals are region locked. And so your squad is set up and good to go into this next week Open. Really excited to actually start watching some of these games. It's going to be fantastic. I'm excited that we finally have this road like shown out before us. But you guys are going to be heading into it. These Opens have a pretty large player cap put on them, as well as Gek, you were mentioning earlier as well, the prize pools throughout this entire tournament series are really, really good. We have that spread out amongst just all kinds of tournaments. It's not just the final regionals, not just Worlds. We're going to see decent prizing. Do you think the player base for Pokemon Unite, at least in the competitive scene, do you think it's going to go up quite a bit when these tournaments start happening?
Maybe a question for Kelvin, maybe no? The Hot Boys?
Yeah, I can answer this one probably.
Sure.
I mean, I'm still in contact with all of the Heroes of the Storm players, and I've been talking to them about me switching to Unite, right, and all the various tournaments coming up. And I mentioned the World Championship with 1 million when the rumors were still there, right?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't clear that was going to happen. And they were like, nah, no way Pokemon is going to get such a tournament. And then the announcement came, and suddenly they were all like, oh, okay, maybe we should also get into it at this point. But I do think with these big tournaments, especially from Pokemon Company themselves, I think it's going to pull a lot of players from different games to this game.
Cool.
And try it out, at least, see if they like it.
Mm. Yeah, do you think that your team, though, with all the time you've spent in, almost 6 months now for Dawn of the Game, do you think that gives you a huge advantage over new people? Or do you think that Pokemon Unite is a game that you can get caught up and pick up pretty quick and be competitive fast?
Well, compared to other MOBAs, Unite is a lot easier, in my opinion, compared to League or Dota or those various games on PC.
Okay.
But we do obviously have an advantage because we have been playing this for so long and been playing competitive almost since the start. So they've got some catching up to do, but we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
I actually somewhat disagree to an extent, which is The game itself, yes, it's very approachable because let's be honest, it's a kid-friendly franchise, right?
Sure.
So the game itself has a very welcoming nature, but the community not so much.
Okay.
So it's very hard to be a new player. You learn the ins and outs of the game. You know how to play your character. You play solo queue here and there. Now, good luck finding a five star.
Right.
Or like at least a one that doesn't get farmed on cooldown, right? It's like it's
That's
okay.
true.
It's part of the game to lose against the better teams, but the way the ladder is made, well, I mean, we all see like the big teams queue. Every 1 in 5 games you have a good match, and the other ones it's like what we like to call teamies, right? And if you
Sure.
want to get into the game, and you're art stuck teamies, you have to prove yourself until you find yourself in a stack, basically.
Okay.
So the community side of the thing, I'd say it's very gatekeepy and very hard for someone new to come in.
Okay. Do you have any idea why do you think that is? Is it just not enough places for people to find teams? Like not enough Discords where people are looking to find genuine good five stacks? Or is it just a nature of people are really competitive and they already have their friends that they're playing with and want to keep it that way? What do you think could improve also in that way? Anybody could take that question.
I mean, I'd say that especially from the beginning, where the culture started, was it was at a point where you'd play ranked and you'd get plus one and minus 12.
Oh, yeah.
So no one wants to lose 12 points because they're playing with their new friend that just got the game. It's like okay, people are too addicted to these virtual points that in the end of the day doesn't matter much. But at the same time, bro, come on, I've been grinding these points for hours. I lose one game, there goes all my hours. So I think it comes a little bit from that. And people in general don't imagine, okay, imagine we go ladder, we face TTV, and we're just testing Zervas cousin out here. It's like, bro, come on.
Right.
It's not gonna end well, right?
Yeah, you
Wait for
trying to
that.
try someone out against the best in the game, it's gonna be pretty challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then
Okay.
standard is not really, it's not a real. You know, standard is not real Pokemon Unite as we know
Yeah,
it.
that's true.
It's a complete different game. So it's hard to get people into it.
Yeah. Unranked and ranked modes will always be so incredibly different on either side, but you're right. So I think if we're going to see new players or new teams actually be contenders and get this competitive focus that we see already with the top teams, you're going to kind of need to enter with a five stack, which is a daunting task at a lot of times. It's hard to find those things as solo queuers. You need to find the team before you even start the game. That's always going to be challenging. But okay, so we've talked a lot about it, the regionals and things like that, but the world's actual event in August is going to be, I believe EU gets two seeds, so does NA, and then the rest of the distribution is going on from there. If you guys were to pick the two spots that you think would go in EU right now, if Worlds was already confirmed, tournament happened today, who's earning those spots? Let's already just give Apes Unleashed gets one. Who's that other team representing EU in the world's event?
Bro, you know it's so hard because literally all of those three teams that I consider the best EU teams or like one of the top EU teams are all my friends. So it's way too hard, man. Like
No,
legit, all of them are just homies or brothers to me. So it's like I just can't pick one, man. Like it
that's
would either be
true.
five guys, one Sova with people like Tans and Eberding and Bruff and like Fazit, or you know Random Gaming or PogChamp. But
Okay.
yeah, I mean, obviously us. And man, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, all right, understand it. You don't want to break up your relationships. I know you have a team in mind, Sixies. I know there's a team that you've already picked to be that qualifier, but all right, the rest of you three. Anybody, who do you think's the other team earning their world spot if the tournament happened today, other than Apes Unleashed?
It was today, in my opinion, it would be Random Gaming because
Okay.
PogChamp, one of their offlaner has been on break for a few weeks now.
Okay.
And if it were to happen today, I don't think he would perform as well as he has been in the
Sure.
past.
Okay.
And
Gotcha.
yeah, the other stack Six was talking about isn't really established, and Random Gaming is like the one team who has been practicing for a while now as well, and
Okay.
they're improving a lot, in my opinion. So that would be my pick for sure.
Okay. Awesome.
Same
So,
here. Yeah.
Random Gaming. All right, Random Gaming and Apes Unleashed makes it.
I'd say Random Gaming as well if the coin lands on the right side.
Okay, so a lot of love, lot of love being set up.
If it is today, then yes, random gaming. If it's today, then yes, random gaming.
Well, lucky for the other competitors that we just mentioned, it's not today. We have a long, long qualification process before that even happens. But if you had to make that same decision for any of the NA squads, who do you think are the two taking it there?
It's hard.
I mean, ETV, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we can all agree on that.
And
probably
maybe Shiny or Ascendance, one of those two.
Shiny or Ascendance are the other two top teams looking at that one.
Because Aphelion Esports split up now.
Yeah, they're all IX now. Emerged with IX, so.
And I'm not.
Yeah, either.
Not yet convinced with this merge, but we will see how well they do.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was given the opportunity to cast the draft tournament out of the Floatstone Discord just last week, and they were able to net themselves a second place finish with just making a brand new roster. But in a draft format, it's pretty hard to take any of those placements seriously because this game and draft is a fun, interesting combination so far in this game, only having one healer and all that for sure. But cool. Yeah, so we have a lot of teams contending for other ones. I don't know enough about the other regions yet to really ask you guys on those, but I am working hard to try to get some more teams on here. We're hopefully getting Stamina, who is a probably South America team. The Pokemon Unite, like, rulings on where, like, Mexico lands in terms of region is still up in the air, which I find absolutely crazy. So they don't know if Mexico's gonna be NA or South America yet. The only word on it was just it will be announced in the future, so we'll find out on that. But yeah, Stamina Gaming was actually able to take that tournament earlier this week, and win that draft tournament. So South America team also throwing hands, so that's pretty exciting. But awesome. So we're getting close to the end here. Guys, thank you for talking with me about finding out who's the best in EU, all those kind of things. If you were given the chance, so you were able to actually play some other NA squads, if you were able to meet and match up against some, who do you guys think that your team matches up the best against? Or is there any teams that you really enjoy playing? Whether that be just because of how the team plays or because, like, they're a past roster of yours, they're friends on that team. Who does Apes Unleashed like queuing up against the most?
NA?
NA or EU, honestly. Either one.
Games-wise, I always enjoyed the games with TTV, honestly.
Okay.
We played against them a bunch, also in scrims and so on. So those were always, like quite evenly matched in a lot of our encounters. So it was always really exciting to play and a lot of tournament finals. Cool. For me, I like to play against TTV, and we haven't played against them in a while, so either one of us gets always knocked out of the tournaments at the moment before the finals. So
right,
no one has to take it, so.
I gotcha. Yeah, we gotta make that matchup happen. Absolutely. Is the rest of you guys feeling the same way? Is TTV the most fun team to play right now?
Yeah, I would agree on that.
For me, yeah. I'm not sure for Gek, because they've been getting farmed when he was in Good Morning by them every day. So.
Ouch!
I'm wrong.
Yeah, Gek, is there a little too much PTSD every time you have to queue in the TTV, or how does that look for you guys?
Well, let's say Good Morning was not such a good situation.
Oh, okay. So I see.
It's more on that side than the TTV aspect. Okay. But to touch on that, I do not enjoy playing TTV that much, because they play somewhat different. So, in my opinion, okay, it's good practice in the aspect of, yes, they're, like, known as the best team, so of course it's good practice.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think practicing against them sometimes is the most helpful against most other teams.
Right, yeah, they play very different games.
Yeah, there's some specific things they do that no one else does. So it's like, yeah, it helps us against them, but not really against other people.
I gotcha. Okay, well, yeah, if you want to make your practice actually count in the majority of games, it's gonna be a tough matchup. A fun game, but maybe not learning the most out of it every single time.
Yeah, but on the subject, I like playing against the iteration of Bad Macro.
Okay.
The old one and the new one.
Yeah, old
ignoring
enemy.
all the thing that happens, let's not touch that, but
Sure, of course.
yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds like they still are keeping that squad around, at least some of it, obviously, some subtractions going on. But yeah, a semblance of that squad is still existing. They still have yet to have a new team name. I know they're trying to get away from the Bad Macro team name, but they have yet to commit to one. So as soon as they know it, I'll actually be able to talk about that team too. But okay, cool, a squad. So awesome, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to bring this thing to a close here in just a minute, but we're making this podcast for the competitive scene in Pokemon Unite. We would want teams to take a tune into this, learn about their competitors, learn about each other, and then also be able to showcase top teams to everybody. But I know that we're also getting a lot of newer players in, trying to watch this podcast, learn about the scene, learn about who these teams are that are entering into these tournaments, especially with the Worlds upcoming. So on that note, I want to just give each of you a chance to give me one tip on what it takes to be a competitive level player in Pokemon Unite in your specific role. If you were telling a new player right now who they found themselves in Masters, they've been grinding up, they've been doing pretty well, but they want to start playing on a team, what's one thing that makes them go from good to great? So Zervis, why don't we start with you in that support role? Where do you think that, what do you think that tip could come from?
Trust in your teammates, honestly.
Okay, gotcha. Believe in them as you throw that Leaf Tornado for them. They'll
yeah,
make it happen.
We already talked about the body barrier situation. It's mostly about that. The ult usage is so important at the later stages of the game. So if you cannot trust that others will like defend your team members and everyone suddenly pops ult for no reason, then you're gonna lose a lot of games.
That's very trust. True. Okay, believe, trust in the teammates. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, Chelvin, how about you? How about for that jungle role? What can make a good player into a great one?
I think there's various ways to play jungle. There's not a right one per se, but being aware of your buff timers is really important to be like high level for the later stages of the game. You don't have to like do them on cooldown per se. Like you could be doing something else with your team at that time, but you need to be aware of when they're spawning.
Okay, gotcha. Constantly getting it. The more you're able to take those spawns out of the jungle, the more often that they will pop up and available for you to farm. So that makes a lot of sense. All right, Gek, talk to me about this tank role. What makes a good player go to great? I mean, you don't have to give away all your secrets. I know I've spouted that you are the pioneer of tanks in a lot of situations. You have to play a lot of those roles and you make them popular. But yeah, what's one secret that you could give that makes tank players in a competitive setting really, really solid?
So I usually go by the things I do it, but I wouldn't recommend because I'm a little bit of a psychopath.
Okay.
But it's more so touching on the, if a solo player wants to get into the team aspect, as a tank, you need to talk, man.
Okay.
Like all these quiet tanks, they need to go. Like you need to talk because otherwise the way for a solo player to get into a team is to stand out. And if you're a tank and you're neither playing aggressive or talking, bro, you're dead meat. Everyone can play that.
Okay.
So it's be aggressive in comms and in game.
Yeah, you got to make sure your team's listening and you got to wrangle them in sometimes. That makes sense.
Exactly.
Okay, Sixies, talk to me about the top lane.
For me personally, I think top lane is about trying to get your jungler ahead as much as possible because he's the most likely to get 9. If it somehow happens to become a stomp on top and you do get 9, then obviously that's great, but priority is to make sure jungler gets it done on Dread and gets to level 9 in Dread. So my opinion, it's probably learn how to play with your jungler and be able to take or tank shots for your jungler and be able to min-max your champ in the lane.
Okay, awesome. So have to award a little bit of that precious XP to the jungler in that case. That makes sense. Okay, but guys, thank you so much for giving me those tips. I'll have to utilize some of those on ladder myself. Maybe I won't be a washed caster. Maybe I could find a team one day. We'll see. Probably not. but who knows? All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining. This is your chance now to just sell out, shout out, whatever you need to. Where can people find you? Where's your streams? Where's your social media? All things like that. Let's head around the circle backwards. Sixies, why don't we kick it off? Where can people find you?
Twitch.tv/Sixies. I stream almost every day. And obviously shout out to my teammates and shout out to you guys for hosting this awesome interview.
Of course. Awesome. Gek, how about you?
You can find me both on Twitch and Twitter @GekOkami. As you should see, with 2Ks, 1-0. I try to stream every weekday, and that's about it.
Okay.
Also, thank you for organizing all of this. I'm a big fan. I watch all videos.
Thank you very much. Yeah, awesome. Chelvin, how about you too?
At Chelvin on Twitter, and yeah, thanks for organizing this, and thanks to everyone watching. It was a blast.
Of course, thanks for joining, and Zervas, round us out.
Zervas underline on Twitter and Twitch, and yeah, overall, Apes or like Team Unleashed will be looking for sponsors or an organization to join in the future. So this is one of the things we will tackle next.
Absolutely.
Anyone know somebody?
Yeah, no kidding.
Never know.
If somebody watching in stream has some money, throw him this way. Look at these handsome fellas. Get them on your roster. they want a fun brand name to throw beside their Twitter handles for sure. But that is where you guys find them. Tune into the Twitch. Tune into all those things. Guys, thank you for joining Overdunk Episode 5. You guys can find this podcast on the Unite Mics YouTube. You can find a ton of game commentary as well there. If you want to see more of the top teams playing with me and some other co-casters throwing it down, Dupe Snacks as well has another podcast on this channel, Late Night Unite. Make sure you check that out as well. But guys, thank you so much. One more shout for this podcast. We were now on Spotify, Apple, Google, all those things. So rate and review there, like and subscribe on YouTube, all that good stuff that I know you guys are already getting done right now. So don't worry. But for everybody on Apes Unleashed, and I have been Zoinks for Unite Mics, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.